the sun coming out and enjoying a little bit of the afternoon air. That was always nice. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father God, we want to thank you for waking us up to see another day. We're thankful that we are able to come together as your children and as brothers and sisters to worship you this day and pray all things that we say, all things that we do are pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, we ask that you will bless each and every teacher that is in their classes this morning, that you will fill their hearts and their minds with your word and the things that they've studied, that they will present it in a way others will see your word and your will and make that decision to follow. We ask that you will also bless each student that is in all the classes, that you will bless the hearts to be receiving, receptive to your word, and through it, Father, we all may grow thereby. Bless us now and keep us, watch over us and guide us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, again, good morning. We want to continue to keep Jeannie and Nathan and the family in prayer as they are traveling now. We always want to be mindful of those who have lost loved ones and always go to God to give them that comfort that only He can provide. So continue to keep the Adams family in prayer. The last couple of weeks, we've been on the topic of the Scriptures say, you know, the theology of the Scripture. And just as way of review, we talked in the first week about 1 Corinthians 13, the characteristics of love and understanding that God is love. Now, I just want to make a few comments and notes here before we get started into today's lesson. We have to understand that God not only is love, He is the perfection of love, and is beyond any comprehension of man's concept of love. You know, as we look at the Scriptures, we must recognize that the Bible is a love letter from God to man, and it's a guide to get us back to Him. It's complete in and of itself. In other words, if no other book were ever written, you know, we like to go online and go to Barnes & Noble and look for books that will kind of help us understand. But if no other book had ever been written about God, the Bible is enough. And we need to understand that because the Bible by itself gives us everything that we need concerning God and His plan for us. We must also study the Word with the understanding, with that understanding in mind. You know, when I speak with my family, with my wife, you know, every word that comes out of my mouth, you know, has to be taken with our relationship in mind. In other words, even if I sound upset, even if I sound in a way that other people may perceive it as something different, she understands and my family understands that I still have love. And so therefore, anything that comes out cannot be taken as, well, should I question whether He loves me or not? You know, when my children are chastised, they don't like it. I guarantee you they don't like it. But they still understand and should always understand that I'm doing it for their best. Even when they might disagree, even when they are upset about it, they understand Dad still has my best interests in mind. Well, when we think about God, regardless of what's happening to us, our situations, our circumstances, we understand that God is love. So everything has to fit within that context. We don't have to question and say, I'm going through this, so does that mean God stopped loving me? That's not the case. We always have to understand and read the Bible with the context that God is love. You know, when we read Scriptures, we should accept that God loves each and every person and desires that we're all reconciled to Him. That's what we were talking about in that first week in 1 Corinthians 13. But 2 Peter 3 and 9 talks about how He has a desire that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants us to be with Him. Now, we all know that our bodies will perish, 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, but God shows His love toward us that we would have eternal life after this body perishes. You know, we always read John 3:16, but that's truly a symbol or a sign that God loves us enough that He wants each and every person to be with Him. So with that said, we've moved into the second week and we talked about the book of Hebrews. You know, it's known as the book of encouragement. for Christians to be faithful at all times. You know, we talked a lot about the word better and how it's used to show how Christ is superior in all ways. You know, therefore, regardless of our situations, regardless of our circumstances, you know, we can know that Christ is better. In him, we're able to overcome, 1 John 4 and 4. And then last week, we talked a little bit about the authorship of Hebrews. There were some who believed that it was Paul who wrote it, others who had other thoughts or beliefs on other authors of the Bible, of the book of Hebrews. But it's important for us to recognize, and this is what we're going to get into today, that regardless of who the person was that penned it, God is the author. And with that, we're going to kind of talk a little bit about 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you turn over there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 16. Very familiar verse. We're going to break it down a little bit today as we talk about what the scriptures say. And as you're turning over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want us to understand, to fully appreciate, you know, what the scriptures say. We have to fully accept that it's not just that a book or the scriptures say something, but that it's God that says it. Okay? We know that the scriptures are God-breathed. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. You know, God-inspired. We've discussed that in other classes as well. But do we understand that it's really God speaking to us? You know, yesterday we had Last Leaders, and there were a couple of our sisters there, and I remember the two of them speaking, and I happened to be nearby, and I heard one comment about, you know, the people during Noah's time, they really didn't have an excuse. They were so close to the time of creation. I mean, you know, we were reading one evening in our around the dinner table, and we were talking about how it's amazing that Methuselah, as long as he lived, you know, it was really, only thing that was really said about him was that he lived and had a lot of kids and he died. And that was it. For someone who lived almost 1,000 years, it seems amazing that you wouldn't have more written about him. But when we looked at it as a family, we were seeing that, wow, this is the person who not only knew the first man, Adam, but also knew the last one before the flood, Noah. And so there was a lot going on, and then in the comments that were made with the two sisters, like, well, they were so close to it, they saw everything. You know, they could talk to, they can talk to Adam, they can talk to Seth, they can talk to all these people. They really didn't have an excuse. And then the other sister responded. She said, you know, we really don't have that excuse today either, because we're very close to it as well. And that's really interesting because, you know, a lot of times we say, well, God spoke directly to them. He's not speaking directly to us now, so they had more impact. That's kind of interesting. Turn over to Hebrews 1 and 1. Keep your finger over at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. Hebrews 1 and 1 says, God, who has sundry times in divers mansions in different manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Imagine if one of the prophets were speaking to you. You know, wow, this is a person that's getting direct instruction from God. Now he's talking directly to us. How much of an impact would that be? It says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his son. You know, a lot of us say, well, if Jesus were here right now and he talked directly to us, I would definitely listen. We have to be careful before we say things like that, because he is talking to us today. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. We recognize in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about Christ himself. Christ is the Word. Now the question is whether the impact of God's Word being spoken to us today is the same as when we spoke directly to Adam, when he spoke directly to Adam, or Moses, or one of the prophets, or the apostles, you know, or even Christ himself when he spoke to the Jews. You know, I would argue that whenever a speaker, you know, whether we're talking about Nathan or Andy, who will be speaking later, or Tom or anyone else, presents the word, it should be given the same respect than if the apostles were speaking directly to us. Why is that? It's because the scriptures is God's word. And that's why I want us to come back to